didn't think I was that small, but apparently somehow Mr. Singleton managed to miss me. Thank you, Mr. Singleton, and good afternoon to all you brethren. I don't know about you, but I'm finding that every day here in Jamaica is a bad hair day. Unless you have no hair, then you have no worries, man. Also, if you're a man wearing a suit to services and the elevator, your part of the hotel is broken, as ours has been, it gives a whole new meaning to the word sweatsuit. Mr. Singleton was referring to this as being a family affair. I have to apologize about the speaking schedule this afternoon. It may have been a mistake to have two speakers with the same last name after an afternoon of buffets, all you can eat here at the Rio on a warm Jamaican afternoon. In fact, I think Mr. Zimmerman owes you all a t-shirt at the end of services that says, "I survived the afternoon Sabbath service at the Feast of Tabernacles in Jamaica." Seriously, though, brethren, it is a wonderful opportunity to be here today and to address you and to speak to you. And I would like to especially welcome any guests or visitors that we might here may have here today. In the year 1965, the musical play The Man of La Mancha, based on the 17th century epic novel by Don Quixote by Miguel de Cervantes, debuted on Broadway in New York City. 7 years later, that same Broadway musical was made into a motion picture by the same name. One of the most well-known monologues of that play and movie are spoken by the main character, Don Quixote. He states, "I have lived nearly 50 years, and I have seen life as it is. Pain, misery, hunger, cruelty beyond belief. I've heard the singing from the taverns and the moans from the bundles of filth on the streets. I have been a soldier and seen my comrades fall in battle or die more slowly under the lash in Africa. I have held them in my arms at the final moment. These were men who saw life as it is. And they died despairing. No glory, no gallant last words, only their eyes filled with confusion, whimpering the question, why? I don't think they were asking the question why they were dying, but why they had ever lived. When life itself seems lunatic, who knows where madness lies? Perhaps to be too practical is madness. To surrender dreams, this may be madness. To seek treasure where there is only trash, too much sanity may be madness. And the maddest of all is to see life as it is and not as it should be." The character Don Quixote becomes so disturbed by the evil that he constantly sees around him, he begins to be able to mentally cope with the life he lives. He begins picturing the world around him, not as it is, but how it should be. He comes to the conclusion that to see life as it is to be mentally ill. And mental sanity actually comes from looking at the world as it should be. Brethren, the purpose of this sermonette this afternoon is to exhort you during this Feast of Tabernacles to picture this present world not as it is, but as it should be. And someday will be in the kingdom of God. If you would, turn to Proverbs chapter 23, and we'll start there. Proverbs chapter 23. I think this dovetails very well with what Mr. Green's message was yesterday on being double-minded. In fact, I thought he was going to go there, but he left it open for me, thankfully. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. It says, For as a man or a woman thinks in his or her heart, So is he or she. In other words, that's the person you or I become, what we think in our heart. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. So in other words, the way we go about picturing or not picturing life as it should be in the world around us affects who we are and who we eventually will become. The New York Times best-selling motivational speaker and author Chris Brady writes, "I'm sure all of us can think of times when we wanted something so badly we could picture what it would be like. We could feel it, see it, and sense it in every way. We could feel, then one day, when it comes true, we think back to when we had pictured it so clearly. Our actions will take us in the direction of our most dominant thoughts. Most of us have seen Olympic slalom skiers preparing before a downhill run, sitting with their eyes closed and moving their hands in the air to mimic the route of the course, rehearsing every turn and picturing a perfect performance. Famously, when Disneyland was completed after Walt Disney's death, someone commented how they thought Walt Disney would have loved to have seen it all to completion. A relative of Disney said that he had already seen it. He had pictured it over and over in his mind's eye, and that was how it even came to be in the first place. So what are you picturing in your mind? Do you parade a bunch of junk in your mind? Or do you continually focus upon a goal and a picture? Are you setting yourself up for a beautiful and successful picture, or just more of the same? It's a tough lesson to learn, but we generally accomplish in life what we picture in our minds first. Now, obviously, brethren, none of us can just bring about the kingdom of God by picturing it over and over in our mind. Only God and Jesus Christ can do that. But we have been given the opportunity to be participants in that kingdom. God has brought us to this Feast of Tabernacles to have a foretaste and to practice picturing that kingdom over and over in our minds. We have been given the opportunity during these 7 days on the last great day to rehearse, to meditate, and to dwell on it away from our daily rituals and routines. Out of all the weeks in 2013, this is the week that we have the best chance of seeing and picturing the world tomorrow in our minds and in our everyday lives. So, brethren, what dominates our thoughts? A bunch of junk or the coming kingdom of God? What goes on between our ears will translate into the actions of our everyday lives. Our actions will either reflect a bunch of junk or they will reflect God's way of life. I'd like to give you a personal insight as to how I practice seeing the world as it should be and one day will be. My family and I reside in upstate New York. We have a friend, a young man by the name of Mark. When Mark was born, the doctor delivering him broke his neck and severed his spinal cord, leaving him a quadriplegic and unable to breathe on his own. Never for one second in his physical life of over 20 years has Mark been able to breathe on his own without the help of a ventilator, nor has he ever taken a step out of the wheelchair that he is confined to. Additionally, I have a cousin. His name is Billy Ed. Now, with a name like Billy Ed, you might conclude that Billy Ed is not from New York, unlike Mark. Billy Ed lives in North Carolina. And Billy Ed was born deaf. Billy Ed has never heard a spoken word in his entire life. The way that his parents discovered that Billy Ed was deaf was when his father, at about 1.5 years old, pulled the lawnmower up next to him, and as a normal child would turn and react to that lawnmower, but Billy Ed never even turned his head. He never looked in the direction of the mower that his father was operating. Isaiah 35, if you'll turn there, and this is how I practice picturing Mark and Billy Ed and how their lives one day will be and should be. Isaiah 35 and verse 2. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of Bilead shall be unstopped. Then Mark shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of Bilead shall sing. Just like that Olympic skier going over that downhill course in his or her mind, or Walt Disney picturing how Disneyland would look, I practice picturing Mark getting up and walking and breathing on his own. I picture having a conversation with Bilead, using words with him for the first time without having to use sign language. But brethren, what about the rest of the world? How will they come to the point where they will start to see the world as it should be and not as it is? It will come by those of you sitting here today teaching God's laws and His commandments to all the nations of the entire earth. Turn, if you would, to Micah chapter 4. Micah chapter 4. And we'll read about what you, brethren, will be doing in the coming kingdom of God, teaching God's commandments to all the nations of the entire earth. Micah chapter 4 and verse 2. Many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. He will teach us His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth. Brethren, there's going to be an eagerness in the world tomorrow without the influence of Satan, the devil, to see the world as it should be and not as they once saw it in this present day and age. Another way those who live over into the world tomorrow will begin to see the world as it should be and not as it was in this present age will be through God's Holy Spirit. All of mankind will be given a new spirit and a new heart to see how the world should be. Ezekiel chapter 11 and verse 19. Ezekiel chapter 11 and verse 19. Then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. So, brethren, those physical human beings that live through the great tribulation and live over into the world tomorrow will then begin to see the world as it should be and not as it was in a society and a culture once dominated and ruled by Satan the devil. Brethren, the most famous song from the play and the movie Man of La Mancha is known as The Impossible Dream. Here's an excerpt of some of those lyrics from that song. To dream the impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable foe, to bear with unbearable sorrow, to run where the brave dare not go, to right the unrightable wrong, to try when your arms are too weary, to reach the unreachable star. This is my quest, to follow that star, no matter how hopeless, no matter how far. And I know, if I only be true to this glorious quest, that my heart will lie peaceful and calm when I'm laid to my rest. Brethren, we as those who are called at this time have been given the opportunity to come to this Feast of Tabernacles to have a foretaste and to practice picturing over and over in our minds the coming kingdom of God. During these feast days, we have the opportunity to see the world as it should be, not as it is, but one day will be. Brethren, the kingdom of God is neither impossible nor is it a dream. It is a coming reality. Just as Don Quixote, the man of La Mancha, made the decision to see the world in his mind as it should be and not as it is, let us also, before we are laid to our rest, take every opportunity to picture the kingdom of God in our minds, and as a result, our actions in our daily lives will follow.